Welcome back, everybody, to Chip and Eric reading through the Bible. Chip and Eric and friends, and I have a new friend here with me today. What a wonderful friend he is, too. Everybody, I want you to meet Andrew Huxman. Andrew, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
Andrew is one of my juniors at Elyria Christian School. He's awesome. Fantastic young man. I've been really impressed with him, and he's faced a lot of adversity. Oh, my goodness. And he's just really come through it. He's doing great. He is an everyday listener of the show. Well, you're every day, but sometimes you miss a day and have to make up a day, right?
Yeah, you got to get caught up sometimes.
That's okay. That's all right. All right. So, Andrew, we're going to be reading today Deuteronomy chapters 14, 15, and 16. And we're going to jump forward to Romans chapter 14. And today is day 70. So today is our 10-week mark. I think you guys, so I've read, you may recognize, I've read with Andrew's mom previously. You guys started with the New Testament last year, right? Like when we started the New Testament, and then he's shaking. Just say what it is, man.
I mean, I kind of fell off.
You fell off, but hey, you're on.
This year, I'm going strong.
70 days. I'm going strong. 70 days. So I think that's great. So we're going to read here, starting in Deuteronomy chapter 14, ceremonially clean and unclean animals. Since you are the people of the Lord your God, never cut yourselves or shave the hair above your foreheads in mourning for the dead. You have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. You must not eat any detestable animals that are ceremonially unclean. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the addax, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has completely split hooves and chews the cud, but if the animal doesn't have both, it may not be eaten. So you may not eat the camel, the hare, or the hyrax. They chew the cud, but they don't have split hooves, so they are ceremonially unclean for you. And you may not eat the pig. It has split hooves, but does not chew the cud, so it is ceremonially unclean for you. You may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch their carcasses. Of all the marine animals, you may eat whatever has both fins and scales. You may not, however, eat marine animals that do not have both fins and scales. They are ceremonially unclean for you. You may eat any bird that is ceremonially clean. These are the birds you may not eat: the griffin vulture, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcon, buzzards of all kinds, ravens of all kinds, the eagle owl, the short-eared owl, the seagull, hawks of all kinds, the little owl, the great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the cormorant, the stork, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, and the bat. All winged insects that walk along the ground are ceremonially unclean for you and may not be eaten, but you may eat any winged bird or insect that is ceremonially clean. You must not eat anything that has died a natural death. You may give it to a foreigner living in your town, or you may sell it to a stranger, but do not eat it yourselves, for you are set apart as holy to the Lord your God. You must not cook a young goat in its mother's milk.
The giving of tithes. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all the crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place that the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, and eat it there in his presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Now, when the Lord your God blesses you with a good harvest, the place of worship he chooses for his name to be honored might be too far for you to bring the tithe. If so, you may sell the tithe portion of your crops and herds, put the money in a pouch, and go to the place the Lord your God has chosen. When you arrive, you may use the money to buy any kind of food you want: cattle, sheep, goats, wine, or other alcoholic drink. Then feast there in the presence of the Lord your God and celebrate with your household. And do not neglect the Levites in your town, for they will receive no allotment of land among you. At the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest and store it in the nearest town. Give it to the Levites, who will receive no allotment of land among you, as well to the foreigners living among you, the orphans and the widows in your towns, so that they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work.
Deuteronomy chapter 15, release for debtors. At the end of every seventh year, you must cancel the debts of everyone who owes you money. This is how it must be done. Everyone must cancel the loans they have made to their fellow Israelites. They must not demand payment from their neighbors or relatives, for the Lord's time of release has arrived. This release from debt, however, applies only to your fellow Israelites, not to the foreigners living among you. There should be no poor among you, for the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession. You will receive this blessing if you are careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend money to many nations, but will never need to borrow. You will rule many nations, but they will not rule over you. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for canceling debts is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I'm commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need.
Release for Hebrew slaves. If a fellow Hebrew sells himself or herself to be your servant and serves you for 6 years, in the seventh year you must set that servant free. When you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press. Share with him some of the bounty with which the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were once slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I am giving you this command. But suppose your servants say, I will not leave you, because he loves you and your family, and he has done well with you. In that case, take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door. After that, he will be your servant for life. And do the same for your female servants. You must not consider it a hardship when you release your servants. Remember that for 6 years they have given you services worth double the wages of hired workers, and the Lord your God will bless you in all you do.
Sacrificing firstborn male animals. You must set aside for the Lord your God all the firstborn males from your flocks and herds. Do not use the firstborn of your herds to work your fields, and do not shear the firstborn of your flocks. Instead, you and your family must eat these animals in the presence of the Lord your God each year at the place he chooses. But if this firstborn animal has any defect, such as lameness or blindness, or if anything else is wrong with it, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Instead, use it for food for your family in your hometown. Anyone, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, may eat it, just as anyone may eat a gazelle or deer. But you must not consume the blood. You must pour it out on the ground like water.
Deuteronomy chapter 16, Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. In honor of the Lord your God, celebrate the Passover each year in the early spring in the month of Abib, for that was the month in which the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Your Passover sacrifice may be from either the flock or the herd, and it must be sacrificed to the Lord your God at the designated place of worship, the place he chooses for his name to be honored. Eat it with bread made without yeast. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast, as when you escaped from Egypt in such a hurry. Eat this bread, the bread of suffering, so that as long as you live, you will remember the day you departed from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in any house throughout your land for those 7 days. And when you sacrifice the Passover lamb on the evening of the first day, do not let any of the meat remain until the next morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover in just any of the towns that the Lord your God is giving you. You must offer it only at the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. Sacrifice it there in the evening as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Then you may go back to your tents the next morning. For the next 6 days, you may not eat any bread made with yeast. On the seventh day, proclaim another holy day in honor of the Lord your God, and no work may be done on that day.
The Festival of Harvest. Count off 7 weeks from when you first begin to cut the grain at the time of harvest. Then celebrate the Festival of Harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him a voluntary offering in proportion to the blessings you have received from him. This is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the designated place of worship he will choose for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites from your town, and the foreigners, orphans, and widows who live among you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, so be careful to obey all these decrees.
The Festival of Shelters. You must observe the Festival of Shelters for 7 days at the end of the harvest season, after the grain has been threshed and the grapes have been pressed. This festival will be a happy time of celebrating with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows from your towns. For 7 days you must celebrate this festival to honor the Lord your God at the place he chooses. For it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvests and gives you success in all your work. This festival will be a time of great joy for all. Each year, every man in Israel must celebrate these three festivals: the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of harvest, and the festival of shelters. On each of these occasions, all men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he chooses, but they must not appear before the Lord without a gift for him. All must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God.
Justice for the people. Appoint judges and officials for yourselves from each of your tribes in all the towns the Lord your God is giving you. They must judge the people fairly. You must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. Let true justice prevail, so you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You must never set up a wooden Asherah pole beside the altar you build for the Lord your God, and never set up sacred pillars for worship, for the Lord your God hates them. Okay, and off we go to Romans chapter 14.
The danger of criticism, Romans chapter 14. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't, and those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall, and with the Lord's help they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to him, to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord, so whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God." Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning.
And that is our reading today. You knew it. Hey, okay, good job, man. You read the whole New Testament passage without me. Felt really left out. a little depressed. It's okay. I'm going to get over it, though. Hey, you know the rules, Andrew. We read that with two questions in mind. How does this help you love God more or better? How does this help you love others more or better?
I'm actually going to take how this helps me love others better.
Okay.
Because that was pretty much what all of Romans 14 yeah, was about.
Good call.
How we should not look down on others or criticize them just for some of their beliefs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, what goes along with that in, I think it was Deuteronomy 15, when it was talking about, like, how you should give to others, like, give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that goes along with that, because sometimes we look down on poor people, yeah. But...
good point.
Yeah, I feel like that's how we can love others more.
Yeah.
Don't look down on them or criticize them.
Absolutely. And then also the hardest part of all that, in my opinion, is to honor their convictions. Oh, yes. And sometimes that's like, man, well, like I don't drink alcohol. I have no convictions about it. It's just not the right choice for me. And as a teacher at the school, I'm contracted not to, but when we'll go out to eat, Hannah will have a glass of wine. And the thing about that is she, if we're going out with someone for the first time, she'll say, hey, is it okay with you if I get a glass of wine? And if they say yes, then she will. And if they say no, then she's like, okay, no problem at all. And we don't get in the car afterwards and go, can you believe that that person, you know, like the whole thing is we have to honor other people's convictions. You know, it's no mystery either about, you know, I hate covering up my tattoos at school. The reality is though, I desire not to have people who are weaker in the faith. That's what Paul says, except other believers who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them. I desire to have stronger, like to help people be stronger in the faith to where it's okay. Like, hey, it's no big deal. The Bible teacher has tattoos. That pastor has tattoos. Like, that's okay. But at the same time, there are people who are genuinely, you know, it violates their conscience. And so it would be wrong for me to flaunt that liberty in their face and to, just, you know, that's exactly what Paul's saying. Like, I would rather never eat meat or drink wine again, is what he says.
Yeah.
So I just think that that's like a really powerful thing. I also think that these passages go together really, really well because, man, what are we talking about? You know, in the Deuteronomy passages, multiple times we're talking about what we eat, whether it's unclean animals or the firstborn or the Passover meal, like whatever. We're talking about eating constantly. And then we're also talking about these festivals, especially the three most holy festivals, which are Passover, the Festival of Weeks, which we would later call Pentecost, and the Festival of Shelters. These are the three most holy festivals where everyone, every Jewish man who could, was meant to go there and be in the place of worship that God set up. So whether it was the initial place where the tabernacle was or eventually Jerusalem where the temple was built, people were supposed to go there for those festivals. And now in Romans chapter 14, Paul says, and hey, listen, no day is any more special than any other day, right? So he's breaking down all the dietary restrictions. He's breaking down the calendar restrictions. And he's just saying that was for a certain time for a certain people. That was for the Jewish people during the time of their covenant with God before Jesus came and established a new covenant, right? So they go together so incredibly well. And I think, man, how can we use all of this to love God more? There's a lot. I love the idea of giving back to God according to what you've been blessed with. That's massive. Like, I don't know. We're regular givers, my wife and I, of course. I shouldn't say of course, but you would hope that a pastor would be a regular giver. But I'll tell you what, before we moved to Kansas, we certainly weren't. We never gave at all. And then we moved here, and I've said this on the podcast before, but I'm a little embarrassed to say it. It was Hannah who was like, hey, we need to start giving to the church. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we worked there and we moved here. It's a part-time job and like this whole thing. And she's like, that doesn't matter. So it was like this whole like, oh shoot, like I'm way off on this. So I think giving back to God according to what he blesses you with, I am a very blessed person. I'm not saying like I'm filthy rich or whatever, but like God has been really good to us. So giving back, not just money, but like ability and all of that stuff. I also think, you know, this whole idea of how we honor other people's convictions, like what you were talking about, Andrew, allows us to love God better because he desires that. He desires that we treat people with that kind of dignity, even if we completely disagree with them. Even if we're like, how can you seriously ask me to cover my tattoos? Or how can you seriously not be okay with me drinking wine? Like, I'm just grateful that I haven't come across a Christian yet that's like, hey, it really bothers me that when people eat meat in front of me. What a problem. That would be such an issue for me. I'd be like, cool, you're going to need to find some other friends. But, you know, I just think that, man, when we allow other people to exercise their freedom of conscience and or exercise their, you know, their conscience as it limits them, I think that we are really honoring God through that as well. So I think that's huge. And there's something else in Deuteronomy that I wanted to mention. I don't remember what it was. Let me look real quick. Sorry. The festivals. Oh, this thing about slaves too. Like, I love this concept of like treating your slaves so well. In the ancient world, slaves were not treated well. You know, in the modern world, slaves were not treated well. But in Israel, they were. So much so that God had to add an addendum to this that said, hey, if they want to stay and be your slave forever, I'm going to make that an option, right? Like, that's how happy these slaves had to have been in their situation, right? Like, yeah. Oh, you know, I'm good to be your slave forever. That's cool. Here, punch a hole in my ear. You know, like, all right. And I think that we honor God. This goes back to what you said, too. We honor God when we, you know, treat people who are societally less than us. When we treat them well, I think we honor God. So some of those blend loving others and loving God more, but those two concepts go together. So what do you know? Andrew, I talked a lot. You gonna add anything else?
I don't think I have anything to add.
That's okay, man. It's good. I think officially you're the youngest friend who's read on the show. That's pretty cool, man. And you sought me out. Like, it was your idea. I think that's awesome, man. That says a lot about you. And it's no mystery to me that God's doing big work in your life. And I just love that. I love seeing the progression. And, you know, I think the first time I met you was your freshman year at retreat. And then later on that year, I was tying a tie for you, I think. I think maybe that happened. And then, hey, you even grew from that, because last year I had to iron your clothes for you, too. So now here we are. Reading the Bible together on a podcast. Wonderful. Hey, guys, you don't have any social media, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so he won't be able to see it, but you should give Andrew a big shout-out on Facebook on the Chip and Eric page. And you can also comment on Spotify and just say how much you enjoyed having him on. It'd be a great encouragement to him. And if you ever want to meet him, you can just go to Harvest Church. Big plug for Harvest Church. What'd you think of that? Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Anything I can do to get people in the door, that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
They're going to be like, I love that Andrew guy. Oh, Harvest Church? All right, I'll be there. All right, Andrew, give one line of absolute wisdom that we can all live by, and then we're going to go.
How did I know you were going to ask me that?
Yeah. I'll give you a line then.
Okay, yeah, you give me a line.
I will. And you live by this, okay? All right, here's the deal. And I had a leader in the army who used to tell me this frequently. Don't cook bacon naked.